Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and want to continue to talk about the unfolding of the Acts of the Apostles. The readings the church is taking us through now in this Easter season is the reality. The apostles were discipled by Jesus. He gave them everything they needed to know for their mission. Their human weakness, as I mentioned yesterday, was revealed in the Passion. In the moment when Jesus needed them most, many of them ran for cover, for protection, because they were afraid, because their own weakness and cowardice was revealed. And that was an important part of what was of the overall revelation of what was happening in that moment. Because the weakness and the sin sickness of the human heart, even in the apostles, was revealed. We saw betrayal, we saw denial. But Jesus knows that reality is present in the life of every human being apart from him and apart from his grace. Because we're up against the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's what the scripture says. And we see that unfolding and conniving together, those forces at work in the power of sin and death, seeking to destroy Jesus. Jesus conquers it all. He swallows up death in victory. He makes, as Paul says, St. Paul says, a public show of the devil and breaks his hold on the human race. For all those who are baptized into Christ, there's new grace, there's new freedom, there's new capacity now to live a new way of life and to step in ever deeper ways into the freedom that belongs to Jesus Christ, who's passed from death to life. The apostles receive that power. And at the end of the program yesterday, I read from the section in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, where Luke gives us the first resurrection account of Jesus meeting with the apostles. And it's such an important scripture because in it you see the thing Jesus most wanted to communicate to the apostles and to interpret for them what happened in his passion, death, and resurrection, its meaning, and what it means now for the apostles, and how it's meant to be the very heart of what they live and what they preach, the foundation of the church. I'll read it again just quickly here. Verse 45, chapter 24 of Luke's Gospel. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. This is what Jesus wants to do for us. And as we daily take up the word of God, he wants to help us through the grace of the Holy Spirit and open our minds to understand the heart of what God is revealing to us in his word. It says, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. So Jesus said everything that happened to him was predicted, was set forth in Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. The Old Testament was leading to this point, and that the Messiah was to rise from the dead on the third day so that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. So there, in summary, is the very reason and why the church exists, the heart of its mission, its fundamental command from Jesus is to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins to the whole world in the name of Jesus. Repentance and forgiveness of sins comes through one person, through Jesus of Nazareth. And then he says, you will do this beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. So Jesus is saying, here's your commission. Here's the purpose for which I've gathered you and now I'm sending you. You need to wait until I give to you the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, Jesus who now is the head of this new race of people that he literally is, you might say, siring by the Holy Spirit. He's bringing about a new creation. He's bringing humanity from death to life. And so what we see right at the beginning is that Christianity is the infusion of God's life into a dying race of people. For all those who are willing to receive it, repent, have their sins forgiven, and enter the waters of baptism, they are given a share in the resurrected humanity of Jesus Christ. This is what the church is all about. The church is not fundamentally a moral system, a new philosophy, or just a kind of another generic religion in the world. The church is the beginning of the new creation. It's the kingdom of God on earth, established in Jesus. It's a miracle, and it exists to communicate divine life to human hearts who desperately need it, to literally bring human beings from death to life, from the grip of Satan and the power of sin and death, to be literally set free from it all, to have all those chains broken, to have all that domination of sin and dominion of powers that dominate us broken and brought from children of darkness to become children of light. So the apostles go forward on the day of Pentecost when they received the promised Holy Spirit, and they did just what Jesus sent them to do. It's so important to see the transformation that happened in them by virtue of the work of the power of the Holy Spirit and the repentance that they went through themselves. And remember, Peter was so broken by his own denial of ever even knowing Jesus at the time Jesus needed him most. That's what we do when we sin, friends. We deny knowing Jesus. We deny wanting to be identified with him. And we make a decision we want to be identified with something else that's going to bring us, we think, comfort, pleasure, whatever it is. There's a great temptation today in the world, in our own country now, as the world becomes more proud of itself, as it becomes more radically independent and turns with a kind of forceful hubris, turns away from God, turns away from Christ's claim and his authority, begins to ignore him completely, a kind of indifference and then radical rage against his commandments and against his rightful authority to determine the fundamental realities of human life, where people have come from, why they're here, where they're going, what's the meaning of human life, what's good, what's true, the day of judgment, his rule over everything. There's a rage against the Lord and his anointed that's emerging again. It never completely goes away and will never go away till he comes again in glory, but it's present and it's emerging in the hearts of quote-unquote good people who want to assert their radical autonomy against Jesus Christ and against his church. We'll see now. The apostles begin to walk the footsteps of Jesus. As he proclaimed the kingdom, they now proclaim the kingdom. As Jesus went forward under the anointing of the Spirit from the River Jordan, so now the apostles are going forward in the anointing of the Spirit from the upper room. As Jesus preached repentance and the forgiveness of sins, now the apostles go forward preaching first that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and that Jesus is now offering as King and Lord of all, he's offering a share in a participation in his kingdom. And that comes through repentance, forgiveness of sins, baptism, and entering into his church. And this is now what the apostles will take forward. And just as Jesus experienced both victory, signs and wonders, he raised people from the dead, he healed people, people responded to his message, so now the apostles will do what Jesus said they would do. Greater works than these will accompany those who believe. They will now do the works of Jesus, preaching the gospel, building his church, performing signs and wonders under the power and the name of Jesus Christ. But just like Jesus, they will now be opposed by the rulers of this world, the political leaders, the religious leaders. Jesus looked in the face just months earlier, whatever. He looked in the face of the religious leaders and said, "You are doing what your father, the devil, tells you to do." That same authority, that same dominion is going to come against the apostles and try to silence their preaching. That's the destiny of all those who are united to Christ in human history. We're destined under the anointing of the Spirit as a communion and mission of people sent forth into the world to speak about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his lordship over everything, and the offer of repentance and forgiveness of sins and baptism to a fallen, dying world that's destined for eternal separation from God. These are the central realities that the apostles will be communicating, and you'll see it and you'll hear it. And so I want to just take it up the last part of our program today. Look at Peter's message on the day of Pentecost, the first preaching of the first pope coming right out of the upper room under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Peter says, he quotes the prophet Joel about, "In the last days, it shall be that God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." Peter is saying, what you're seeing now on the apostles, the reality that no one could deny, their confidence, the power of their message, the working of miracles that was going forward, Peter would say, look, what you're seeing is not our own doing. This is the work of God. This is the fulfillment of the promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all flesh. God's Spirit, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is now being poured out on the earth. The church is being born, and the king is gathering up for himself a people, and he's building his church, and he's sending us forth in power to do it. He's offering the world a future with hope, a future beyond death. So Peter then proclaims, you crucified Jesus, you killed him, but God raised him from the dead. He said, death was not able to hold him down. In chapter 2 of Acts, in verse 32, Peter says this, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Remember Luke 24 that I read earlier? Jesus said they must preach the truth, the reality that Jesus has risen from the dead, and they are witnesses to these things. So that's exactly what Peter's doing here. He's obeying the Lord, and he's telling people what they saw, what they touched, what they know is true. So again, verse 32, Acts chapter 2, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this which you now see and hear. So Peter's declaring not only that Jesus rose from the dead and that God the Father raised him up, but that right now Jesus is exalted as Lord at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. This is the central proclamation, friends, of Christianity and the early church. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus, the name means Savior, right? He's come to save. He's the one who came in the flesh to save us. Christ means anointed, means Messiah. This one who came to save us is the one that was chosen by the Father, sent to us, and is anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's now Lord. All authority in heaven and on earth belongs to him. He's the only one ultimately who knows exactly what he's talking about. All of human history is in his hands. Every human being is destined to face him, the Lord, when they die and stand before him on judgment day. And he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, the church proclaims. So Jesus is the center of human history. Jesus is the Lord of all. And the most important thing happening in the world is Jesus at the right hand of the Father, having sent his Holy Spirit, established his church and his kingdom on earth, and now through his church, he's reaching the world to bring them salvation, to bring them eternal life. So Peter's saying, be therefore exalted. He's exalted at the right hand of God. He received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and he's poured out this Holy Spirit now. And then verse 36, Peter summarizes, because he's Lord, because he's reigning, what does this mean for us now? He said, let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. God has made him Lord. And therefore, the passage goes on to say, their hearts began to stir, and then we'll see, we'll take this up tomorrow. Peter calls them to repentance, to change their life, and to be baptized. God bless you, friends. Hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.